So January is National Hobby Month, and here at the Bryant Park Project, we've decided to celebrate by looking at those hobbies that are, well, a little bit out of the ordinary, extreme, you might say. And since politics are everywhere, we are talking to a man who has one of the country's largest collections of campaign memorabilia. Everything from metal parade torches for John Adams to I Like Ike suspenders. Jordan Wright has been collecting campaign memorabilia since the age of 10, and today his collection consists of over 1 million pieces. To get the scoop on this political paraphernalia, we send our own political junkie, Mike Pesca, to talk to Jordan Wright.
So in front of me is your book called Campaigning for President. It's a great coffee table tome. Brings to mind the chicken or egg question. What came first, your interest in campaign artifacts or your interest in politics?
Well, the truth is, it was 1968. I was 10 years old, and my parents really were not interested in politics. To this day are not interested in politics. And in 1968, the war in Vietnam was going on. The civil rights movement was in its heyday. The environmental movement was starting. And I just could not get a conversation going at home. So I got off at the wrong stop at coming home from school. And I stopped off at the Bobby Kennedy for President headquarters, which was right next to Tony's Pizzeria. Just so you know.
Okay.
And
where was this? What city?
In New York.
Okay.
And there they were talking about all the things that I was interested in, and the bonus was that they gave out free buttons. So I thought to myself, God, I'm going to come back here all the time and get the free buttons, and also, of course, learn about the issues that were of interest to
So
me.
one button leads to another button, but when does it cross into either very old memorabilia or unique kind of campaign paraphernalia?
Well, in 1968, I was looking, I sort of figured out that the other candidates, Humphrey, Nixon, McCarthy, must have buttons. But then the question was, this couldn't have just have been invented in 1968. So particularly when I was in college at Columbia, there were junk shops, and they had a lot of stuff. And there was one junk shop in particular that I just loved. The couple was always arguing. And so I'd go in there and I'd go, "Do you have any political memorabilia?" And they'd go, "Where did you put the political memorabilia?" And the wife would go, "I didn't touch it. You touched it last." And so I'd, sort of roam around as they were looking. And I found a flag with George Washington's picture on it, which is unique. And so I said to them, "How much do you want for this?" And they went, $200. And I said, "Well, I only have 100. And the really bad news is I have to pay this off in 4 installments because I don't have that much cash." And so I got the George Washington flag for $100.
Now, the flag is in the book. It's on page 7. You say that the flag was used to celebrate our first president swearing in. How did you know that it actually was authentic and went back that far, as opposed to something that was made, could have been 50 or 100 years later?
I didn't. I went to historians and other collectors to verify that it was unique.
There's so much stuff in here. Let's go through one of the older things. This is unique, a McKinley China doll made about the scandal of McKinley having a baby out of wedlock. Explain how this doll, what this doll looks like and what it's trying to convey.
Okay, well, it's about a foot high, and the doll is China. His hands and his face are made of China. His suit is basically the American flag. And if you flip him over and flip the suit over, you'll see another China doll, and it's an African American baby. And I think, and her head and her hands are China. And I think if you look at it, it answers the question once and for all that he did have a baby out of wedlock. But more importantly, in this year, when everybody thinks the campaign is so dirty, about the Clintons and their marriage and Barack Obama's drug use and all that kind of stuff, this is dirty, man.
Yeah.
This is really dirty politics.
Let's flip ahead to another. Tell me about the Benjamin Harris whiskey jug.
Okay, so in 1892, most of my book is really about a pre-literate America. We didn't have NPR, we didn't have the New York Times, we didn't have the Des Moines Register, we didn't have experts who could guide us through the political campaigns. So the campaigns had to come up with ways to get us interested in democracy, to get us interested in voting, and to remember a candidate. So in 1892, Grover Cleveland and William Henry Harrison were running against each other, and they had whiskey parties. And the whole idea was to get you drunk. And then they give you these little mini, I mean, they're like a quarter of an inch high jugs with their picture on them and or their name. And the idea was in the morning you'd wake up and you'd go, hey, Grover Cleveland got me drunk. I'm going to vote for him. All right, it's not so sophisticated, but
it could have had the rebound effect of you'd blame Grover Cleveland on your hangover and vote against him.
That was our very own Mike Pesca talking to Jordan Wright, a very extreme collector and the author of Campaigning for President. His collection will be on display in June at the Museum of the City of New York, and we will have a slideshow of some of his collectibles up on our blog later today. Stay with us. You don't want to go anywhere because we have all kinds of good stuff coming up. And a question. Would you want to live Britney Spears' life if you could? Okay, maybe not all of it, but maybe the part where she gets to be famous and people follow her around and she gets to go to all those clubs with the red velvet, you know, ropes in front of them. You can now live your dream, if that is your dream. There's a company that will provide paparazzi for you, your very own paparazzi. We'll talk about it next on the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.